Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the new and improved Figure Studios.
Boom.
Weekend Geek Update.
Yeah.
Smurf here. And my counterpart, PJ Pop Culture.
Howdy ho.
Ryan, unfortunately, is busy saving orphans in a bus trapped down by the river.
Down by the river.
Unfortunately, Ryan can't make this week's cast. We wish him well. We miss Ryan. We miss our Wakeman. But that's okay because we're not up to 100%. We don't have a toy review.
Yeah, it's
unless
right.
unless you can do a toy review if you want. You don't have to.
Didn't really bring anything.
Yeah,
we got the ball on that.
We got Michonne. Compliments of all C's down the street, literally from our new fancy.
Digs.
You will get more as we expand into the other rooms. We do have a bar area, so we don't have our cocktails this week, but we will have one when our guest for next podcast will be James, the owner of All Seas Collectibles down the street, who gave us Michonne.
Donated a beautiful Michonne to help decorate our very barren room.
To decorate our barren room. You'll see it fill in. I already have some art from Jorge Corona. We're just going to go right there, and then we'll have a bunch of other brandings. We also have new guests already signed up to be in the new Fangled Studios. So it's going to be quite a big adventure.
It's going to be an awesome summer.
Yes, it is going to be an awesome summer. I can't wait to use the bar area.
Yeah, this whole place is freaking huge. It's fantastic.
So if you need marketing and you need assistance in promoting your product, your location, contact us. We are looking for sponsors. We are also looking to lend our marketing expertise to you out there. So reasonable rates.
Holla at your boys.
Yes, right. We'll give you anything you got. And also wearing the new 5280 Geek t-shirt, and of course you're sporting our favorite
Colorado Ghostbusters.
Speaking of which, I went to the horror bar.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. There's a line to get into this joint.
Really? A line?
A line. I haven't stood in a line for a local bar in ages.
Yeah.
It was weird.
That is a little weird.
But it was very interesting. The drinks are, Brett Leader 1, Red, Jeannie, and myself all go down, and we have some cocktails, and it was fun. The walls are decorated with various horror posters and art, and it's very cool. It's kind of eclectic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we got there at very close to 5.
Okay.
And we still had to wait 30 minutes to get in.
P.M.
So they open at 5. We're there pretty much while it opened.
Jeez.
And they already had people waiting. So it basically doors boom.
I feel like I should tell our listeners and viewers that I do not have a drinking problem. I don't go to the bars at 5 a.m. I don't know why I felt it necessary to
I think it's fair to accentuate the you know, we do, to be fair, we do have other listeners. Yeah. Colorado was not our only market.
Yes, that's true. For our listeners in Amsterdam,
We have 3 in Amsterdam.
See?
I know that.
And there are zero, there's probably like no hours. Like there's no last call. Like
no.
Freedom.
It's like Vegas. Vegas, yeah, yeah. You don't see windows and you don't have clocks.
I like Amsterdam.
It's a good time.
Holla.
So, sorry. No, you're fine. It works perfectly good. So we'll see what happens with the horror bar. It is kind of fun. It is cool. I know Dave Richards, who's another fellow Ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm.
He was down there when they screened Ghostbusters because I was wearing, like you, I was sporting colors.
Jazz it up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're a Ghostbuster? It's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In the low. Of course, Brett Leader 1 is wearing his hoodie that we gave him, so he's just sporting that all proudly. It was like, yes.
Rocking it.
Hey, when we roll up, we represent, goddammit.
Deep and hard.
Richards was in full, well, he wasn't in full gear, but he was flight suit. He was suit and belt. And I'm just like, no, you're not going to go not all that crazy.
I'm ready.
So, and they were only showing Killer Clowns in Outer Space, and that's not the greatest 80s horror film.
Yeah, it's a cult classic.
It is a cult classic.
But, yeah, no. There's a lot of cult classics.
There's so many.
Bubble Boy is a cult classic.
Really?
Yeah. You believe that?
No, I can't. Wow.
A lot of theories.
All right.
Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko is worth it, though. Mm-hmm. They got like a 4K version coming out.
Yeah, I believe that. I don't want to watch it. I can't go any deeper on that one.
The bunny made me. You don't want to go deeper on Donnie Darko. You really don't. Because it just gets so twisted.
Yeah, it's like, you didn't need to make a Blu-ray version of Clockwork Orange either.
No.
Some things just don't need to be.
You don't need to brighten up that picture because it was pretty grim to begin with. I mean, that's another one I haven't watched since the 90s.
Great movie. Great movie.
Great movie.
But better on VHS.
With all the pops and the noises and all of that. Like, the cracks,
it's like
yes.
A vinyl. You gotta love it.
It's in that vein of 80s nostalgia.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of 80s nostalgia, the world, the internet, the geek sphere is on fire about LeVar Burton landing guest hosting gig on Jeopardy. So I don't know why this, because we talked about this like ages ago of why not let LeVar Burton do it. And he was kind of hesitant. And then the fans, of course, started pushing for it. And LeVar started thinking about it and evidently came to his senses and was like, okay, I want to do it. So after a petition, I'm stunned by this figure. 246,000 fans signed an online petition to put LeVar Burton in there to host Jeopardy.
Well, I can't argue it.
You're just kind of like, wow, I can't imagine it. We've even gone as far as Aviation Gin, which is Ryan Reynolds' baby.
Mm-hmm.
He had LeVar Burton do a stand-up and a pitch, you know, like a commercial for Aviation Gin. And it is absolutely hilarious. Ryan Reynolds just goes completely over the top of declaring that LeVar Burton is a national treasure, goddammit. And LeVar Burton just, of course, in his very, I don't want to say droll, but he's very, the way he delivers a punchline is very unique. He's just kind of like, I don't know if he's just very dry or just kind of sarcastic about how he does it. Even when he was on, like, when he showed up on The Big Bang Theory, how he delivered his line was very kind of like droll, but it was great.
Yeah, you need that with a Jeopardy host because you need someone to put those smart fuckers in their place.
You
right?
do.
Like, just be like, oh, yeah.
Because they got some of those smart fuckers doing another game show on another channel. Have you seen that where you battle the quiz masters or some shit? And I'm just like, and there's that one fucker that they did the commercial, the Jeopardy champion, you know, that dude that does the commercial, I'll wager 300. And then, and it's just, I don't like that guy.
Just go for bust.
Just go for gold, motherfucker. So right now. I mean, let's face it. There's no replacing Alex Trebek. Don't get us wrong.
Yeah, but
who?
Like, who was against it? I don't. Like,
I don't know. So right now, as of today, when we record this, Anderson Cooper is currently saddled with the hosting chores. And I'm scrolling down to see who else we have. So we've got Good Morning America, George Stephanopoulos, Robin Roberts, who else? Dave Faber, who is one of the champions. Of course, Joe Buck. Joe Buck was entertaining to watch on Jeopardy because he's a great. He's a great play caller. Mm-hmm. I like listening to. In fact, I would listen to him and Aikman call a football game any day of the week. Yeah. I wish they could just do all of the games.
But do you want people to watch Jeopardy or listen to Jeopardy?
Oh, good question. Uh-huh. That is a good point, my friend. I don't know. That's a good point. Because I mean, even when Joe Buck does like the All-Star games or any baseball game or the World Series, I really like his presentation skills. But
who's the guy who does all the Rockies announcements and the sports guy here.
That was, for the longest time, Roach. But I don't know if Roach is back or not. They had a new guy come in.
The guy with the starting lineup.
That was Roach. He's the one that does, actually, for the Super Bowl, they fly him in. He's been voicing the Super Bowl for years.
Dude, I want him to just, like, read me Star Wars comic books.
Or whatever comic book.
Yeah, when I was working with
Roach. Read to me.
Just read it to me. Roach was over at the radio station when I was there at the same time. He left for a while, and then I heard him again. So I don't know if he's in town. Because he was, like, in Minnesota or some back out east. And I was just like, why? But that was Roach. And then they replaced him because there's another guy that was doing the Rockies game. Not Rockies. The Avalanche. And then he went to do the Rockies. I don't know if he's over there. Stout is over there. I saw Stout came back. So that's good. But I don't know who you would have as a host permanently for... I mean, they had Aaron Rodgers. But all of these are like people guests. With other jobs.
Yeah, guest hosts. I say go with the guy who got all the signatures. Fuck it.
Yeah. Jordy, come on. And his stint on Reading Rainbow, everybody just automatically just like...
Yeah. Is it bad? I can't remember his like real name. Just like... Butterfly in the sky.
You know, no, I like that. I like that you can just
break, point at him. Just point. Like, this fucking guy. I had a restraining order. I'm sorry.
So my brother made me listen to this rap version of Reading Rainbow. And then just out of nowhere, just suck my dick.
Whoa. Just like,
what am I listening to?
That's crazy. That seems to be like a popular phrase. I was at a gas station a while back, and this kid comes in, and the lady behind the counter is like, you got to leave your backpack at the front door. Like, suck my fucking dick. I was like, whoa.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Can I get 20 on two?
Yes. Yes, sorry. You can.
But yeah, Jordy, if you ever want to come on the show.
Bro. We'd love to have Jordy on the show. I tried to interview Jordy.
Yeah?
Yeah, he wasn't really up for it.
Yeah. Still hanging out with that fucking guy who sings the Reading Rainbow song every hour.
Suck my dick.
Class.
So good. If you haven't seen the Aviation Gin ad, it is on YouTube. I'll actually include the link to it so you guys can check it out.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
But worth a watch. I can't think of anyone else to replace Alex Trebek better than... Than LeVar.
Yeah, why? Yeah.
I really can't. I mean, that just kind of where I think it works. Moving along. So, where are you at in your TV watching?
Well, I'm all caught up on everything, really.
Wow, okay.
Everything that I predicted has been...
How'd you do?
Fruitful.
Fruitful?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So, we'll start with our final thoughts for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
I thought it was good. That was a good thing. A lot of people who I've talked to, and I concur, it feels like other than, it felt different than WandaVision. As WandaVision was episodic, this felt more like they took a movie
and stretched it out,
split it into six parts.
Do you feel that there's like an episode missing between like the last two episodes? Because we get like the training montage, like old school 80s training montage. And you're going to tell me within, like, an afternoon, Falcon is going to learn how to throw the shield and do flips and run faster, jump higher.
Well, it was a long montage.
It was a long montage, but in the show, it felt like they tried to set it up to, like, it's only been a few days, but it was a long montage. I mean, it was probably at least a good 5 minutes.
And the power of the montage, let us not forget.
The power.
You get a lot done.
You do get... Start montage music now.
Right.
I
wouldn't be surprised if there was stuff moved around, edited because of last year and how they had to push back Black Widow and things like that, which is behind Loki.
Yeah.
And then they dropped pictures from Loki. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see the pictures from Loki, and I'm very, very excited. I'm starting to speculate now because the character that Owen Wilson plays actually appears in the FF comics. So
you're thinking they're going to...
Oh, they've already shot up.
The family's coming.
I'm thinking family, the family, because there's like a whole, it's like in the 340s. I had the issue written down, but I don't have that note in front of me. But the time agency is actually a thing,
mm-hmm.
and they appear in the Fantastic Four, things like 343 or something like that. And they do like a whole story arc with those characters.
And it makes sense
with Loki.
Null and, yeah. Or not Null. Cole, what's his name? Time Conqueror.
Oh, Kang?
Kang. We're going to delete that.
We're going to delete that. I did break out my Kang Secret Wars figure.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, Wolverine's claws are on him. So evidently something happened to Wolverine that the claws ended up on Kang the Conqueror. Which I'm like, okay, so where's Wolverine?
Yeah. What'd you do?
What'd you do? I was right on a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
missed the mark on a couple, completely off on a few of them, but all in all, not bad.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I called it on Carter being the power
broker. You did. I was impressed with that. I applaud you. I applaud you on that.
I think that was more of just like understanding storytelling and.
Well, and you, because they kind of made it sound like she disappeared with the blip.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't.
She did not.
She did not disappear with the blip.
She built.
She took over as the power broker who, mm-hmm. either, my money is that she killed him just before the blip. The blip happened, and therefore no one would question her not being around and the power broker continuing.
Mm-hmm. Or she's a patsy.
I don't think she is.
No?
I don't think she is.
I have another theory, and spoiler alert in case I am correct, but in the comic books, there were two different people who held the mantle of Madame Hydra.
Yes.
There was Viper,
mm-hmm.
and then there was Fontaine. Can't remember her fucking name.
Elaine, yes. Lady Hydra, yes.
Yes, so Madame Hydra.
Madame Hydra, pardon me.
Remember in the series they kept referencing Red Skull, things like that. And,
yes.
And a friend of mine, Josh, thank you for reminding me of this, Red Skull would say, when you cut off one head, two more shall take its place.
Correct.
So, I believe that Madame Hydra and Viper are the two heads of Hydra.
Oh, look at you. The power broker
and what's her thing? And now they're both
working together.
And they're like in top positions.
I was so surprised when Elaine showed up.
That was a good one.
It was a good one. It was well placed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to see her play just a vicious baddie,
mm-hmm.
was pretty good. I was like, okay, yeah. I can get on this.
I'd also like to point out that the tech that Viper, I'm going to just call it Viper.
Yeah, that's fine.
Was using in the final episode very much reminded me of Oscorp tech. I had pumpkin bombs.
Yeah.
And things like that and the little lock things. Can't help but think like there's like a Dark Avengers thing building up.
So that is, I am certain, I'm 100% certain we're going to see the Thunderbolts.
Mm-hmm.
And I am leaning towards, because I was thinking the Secret Avengers for a little bit, but I don't think that they're going to go that route. I'm honestly thinking either West Coast Avengers or the Dark Avengers.
Right.
Because there's so much set.
With that little pumpkin bomb that exploded, right? I was like, dude, that was like a freaking pumpkin bomb.
It did look like a pumpkin bomb. Without
paint on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like.
And Hobgoblin.
Who has technology next to Tony Stark? Oscorp
or Hammer Industries.
Hammer Industries is a possibility, but they got pretty much shut down after.
Well, or we think he did.
Absorbed.
We think Hammer got. We know Hammer went to jail.
I think he's on the raft.
Oh, he's absolutely in the raft.
Right.
Because Baron Zemo is going to assemble Thunderbolts.
Right. Zemo wants to be on the raft.
Zemo wants to be there. Yeah. And then you got Thunderbolt Ross, who's running the raft, mm-hmm. who is the Red Hulk.
I feel like something was cut out.
See?
With him being in there.
I think so, because they mention him, but we don't see him.
Some play towards.
But I don't know if that's setting up She-Hulk.
We got super soldier serums, which leads to Red Hulk, which leads to She-Hulk, which leads to nerdgasms.
Yeah. Is it my imagination, or is Sam Wilson the worst fighter you have ever seen?
You know, I think he's pretty good. I think
you think he's pretty
good. Yeah, combat training. He's holding his own against super soldiers.
Barely. He should not have struggled with Batroc the way he did in the final fight. That was just, I was a little annoyed with that.
Yeah, but it's George St. Pierre, man. Like,
I mean,
he's a UFC guy.
Is a UFC guy, and you got, you know, pretty boy. That's probably, you know, he's fit, but yeah, he's probably never really been in a cage.
Yeah, that'd be a cauliflower.
Dude, did you? I just, it stands out. You're like, oh my god, that left ear is
I've like in real life, George St. Pierre is. I've watched him just beat
the crap out of somebody.
He was a champ for a reason, man.
Wow,
I think he was a champ.
I
should have been.
Maybe. I can't. I don't know. I have no reference point for that right now.
Yeah, he's like before there was a lot of UFC rules and color changes and
the golden years of UFC. Yeah.
Like,
I shouldn't say that.
There
any
were
people
weight
really
classes,
yeah,
but
there weren't.
But yeah, it was like right after they decided to add weight class. Like, no more this dude against this dude.
You got Pepe Le Pew facing off against Foghorn Leghorn. Yeah, this ought to be fun.
The bull.
Exactly. I like him as Cap. I like that they did the suits, the Alex Ross version, and it looked stellar. Maybe I was just expecting more. I mean, we got really no character movement a lot in Winter Soldier. We've got some resolve. We've got some closure.
Definitely closure.
But he's still kind of the same.
Yeah. I really think they did a good job at passing the mantle over to Anthony Mackie from Chris Evans.
It's hard to fill his shoes.
Yeah. And I believe in that. Like, I see Anthony Mackie as Captain America. Like, he is Captain America.
Yes. They even changed all the social media from Chris Evans to Mackie. He is Captain America for now.
That's what I loved the ending of the series, too. It changed from Falcon to Captain America and the Winter Soldier. That was great.
So what can they give us in Season 2? Because they said they're doing a Season 2, which I'm actually surprised by that maneuver. Because I mean, that means Feige's already got everything kind of laid out for the next wave? Because how does...
Yeah, Phase 4 is going to be massive. There's,
yeah.
But they say two more shows and three movies this year?
Yes. Yes.
I got goosebumps.
I know. I'm like, oh. Because we still get what? Far From Home.
We got No Way Home.
No Way Home. Pardon me.
We got Shang-Chi.
Black Widow.
Loki. Is Eternals coming out this year?
Eternals is supposed to be out, which I don't give a rat's ass about. That is the worst property. One of the worst properties Marvel has.
I think they're going to turn it into something.
You are...
Remember what they said Guardians was going to suck.
No, I knew Guardians was going to be a hit. I was on that bandwagon long before. I was the one championing that fucking flag.
You can't argue a gun either.
Yeah. So. But the Eternals... Failed comic book series after failed comic book series.
I know nothing about it, so I'm really like looking forward to the movie to learn about it.
Well, and that was a lot of people with Guardians. A lot of people had no idea who the fuck Guardians
were.
I had
no fucking
idea. Yeah. They're like, what, a raccoon? The hell?
Awesome. With a tree?
And a tree?
How are you going to sell that?
What nonsense is that?
And I was like,
Stan Lee to this day, or excuse me, I guess, till his dying day, does not remember creating Groot. He's like, I don't think I created Groot. I don't think that's one of mine. Which I'm like, okay. I wouldn't let anybody think I did not create a character that became that popular. It's a fucking tree, dude.
Yeah, it was me, actually.
It was me. I was in the closet writing out the script.
Groot!
So we'll see what happens, because you're right. This is the rest of the year. If everything follows to schedule... is going to be nuts.
I think this whole multiverse thing is what's going to...
Oh, and yeah, Doctor Strange. But Doctor Strange isn't until next year.
Yeah, but I think it's the Spider-Man movie that's going to open that bitch up.
Yeah, that's... And where Scarlet Witch ended up and all that nonsense. Yes. Yeah.
But if you break it down, I've been doing the math on this. So Falcon and the Winter Soldier, they said, is about 6 months after the snapback.
Right.
WandaVision was... 2 weeks to a month.
Yeah, just like almost immediately.
Spider-Man Far From Home, where he goes on his field trip, was 10 months.
Was it that long?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, because I rewatched that, and they're like, it's been 10 months since everybody.
Okay.
And the teachers are freaked out, and they're scared of wizards, and they're scared of...
J.D. Smooth.
Yeah, he's scared of androids.
Fucking wizards, man. And I think it actually, with what happened with Scarlet Witch, plays to the Jersey thing that he's talking about, since they're in New York, and Jersey's basically a cab ride over the bridge.
It's all connected.
It is all connected.
Feige has saved this very, very well.
He is on point. I am excited to see what they do.
Mm-hmm. So we know in the Mysterio, when Mysterio shows up, Cap's already, you know, the new Cap. And
on the moon, which is a story.
The raft is filling up.
The raft is filling up quick. And the nice thing, what I love about the raft, what I love the most about the raft is we can just have villains come out of there. We don't even need backstories. All we need to know is that that's where they ended up, and now you get to deal with them. We don't have to do any backstories.
Yeah. Abomination's there. I was thinking maybe Abomination was the power broker or leader.
Leader, I could see. Lead, because we never got a end for that that story.
He's
with
got
the,
a bubbling brain.
Mm-hmm, which I wanted to kind of see more. Doc Ock is coming back for No Way Home.
So Tobey Maguire is Doc Ock.
Fuck.
Jamie Foxx has been confirmed as Electro.
Oh, no.
From the Garfield movies.
No.
So all the Spider-Men are going to create the new Sinister Six from a multiverse of madness?
I guess. Sure. I mean, I'm for the Sinister Six, but... So does that mean we're going to get... what's his name back as Sandman? Because I did like him as Sandman.
I liked him better in Wings.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to beat him in Wings. Shit. Everybody loved that show.
No, he was... a fantastic guy. He'd make like
He wasn't in Darman Greg. What was the other? Was it Darman Greg? No, he was in like one of those other ones.
He's a phenomenal. I forget his name.
Yes,
phenomenal actor.
Yes,
and he without him in that movie would have tanked even worse.
It's still tanked.
Worse.
It was garbage.
At least you had lovable Sam, man. Like,
yes.
Fuck, that was believable.
That was believable. The other rest of the DR garbage. No, no. But I would like to see him return as Sandman.
That'd be dope.
Even give us a Hydro Man, since we got it teased
with,
you know, Far From Home. Because everybody was on that Hydro bandwagon.
Eat that shit up.
That was hilarious. So, it's fine. What else we got going on? We will stop boring you with the Falcon and Winter Soldier. If you have any comments or questions or things that you saw, let us know. Put it in the comments below.
Something you missed or saw that I missed.
Yeah, there's probably a few things. Tons. Which brings us to Invincible.
Which is something I have not watched yet.
You have not watched that?
Well, no, and I haven't seen season 2 of The Boys yet either. So.
Oh my god. You just got like an Amazon weekend waiting for you.
I do. I really do.
So Invincible, based on the Kirkman comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. Well, it took a while to build.
It was a sleeper hit.
Because it did, it was right about the same time as Walking Dead. Kirkman's, you know, pumping out all of these things. Mm-hmm. I think it was like issue five or six of Walking Dead when Invincible comes out. So I mean, they're relatively close, but Invincible ended way sooner than Walking Dead ever did. But it's a complete story from beginning to end. Kirkman did a great job with this story. I really liked it. Now, if you haven't watched Invincible. you have to watch all the way through the first episode because I get the same thing from everybody. I was just about done with it on the first episode. I almost quit, and then
boom.
And then boom. Yeah, that's all I can say. Then boom. And a lot of people probably have already been you know, spoiled on this, but I'm not going to be one of them. God damn it. But you have to go all the way through the first episode.
Okay.
Don't abandon it. Don't be like, oh, this is bullshit.
Right.
You have to go all the way through. Because it really watches like a origin story. It really... But it is like the comic. There's only like really three major deviations from the comic to the show.
Mm-hmm. Just one season?
One season. However, 8 episodes, they have already greenlit season 2 and 3.
Okay.
So they're already... They're already in.
How long are the episodes?
Almost an hour, like 45 minutes, 50 minutes. So, like, a decent amount. It's not like WandaVision where it's, you know, 20 minutes, 10 minutes of credits.
Yeah, yeah. You
know? Which really fucking tweaked my melon, yeah. God damn you. So there is, it's so unique, and the opening season is so much like the comet. There's two major differences.
Mm-hmm.
One is there's no Savage Dragon, which he does appear at a funeral that they go to. And he does play a role for Invincible later in the comic, but without him being there. But I think I know what they're going to do with it.
Okay.
As far as who they're going to replace Savage Dragon with.
All right.
And Cecil, the guy that's running the government, the spook agency that they work for, he's like a background player. He doesn't really come into the comic until like issue. You don't see him really until like issue 6 or 7. He's after.
Are you, Savage Dragon? Are you talking about the
Eric
cop,
Larson,
the cop with the mohawk?
Finn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is in. He shows up as He kind of mentors Invincible a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But he was like the one bridge through to key him into the rest of the Image universe. He was like I wouldn't say like a major role, but he was crucial to a couple of storylines.
That's cool.
So to see him not there is kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
But they did introduce this alien that I'm thinking I could easily fill Savage Dragon's role, maybe. I don't know. It's really hard to say. And with Cecil being more active than he was in the comic, I don't know how this sets up further stories.
Ooh, check it out.
It is so good. It was so much better than I thought. And it is like loaded with celebrities. I mean, J.K. Simmons does a great job as Omni-Man. Steven Yeun as Invincible from Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. You've got Sandra Oh.
Is Kirkman involved in this? Is he a producer?
Kirkman is a producer. He was in the writing room.
Okay.
But again, it follows the comic book so damn closely.
Just put it on a screen.
It is. Even the art is very reminiscent of what we saw in the comic.
Because I've seen the comics, mm-hmm. and then when I saw the previews, like, it's almost like
it's seeing the comic book very close.
Move.
Yeah. But the executive producer I would think driving this thing is Seth Rogen.
Okay.
Again, the guy is just, he brings us the boys,
mm-hmm.
thank God, and now he's bringing us Invincible, thank God, which made me laugh because I saw What's-Her-Name is trying to do an adult version of the Flintstone, I like that we have internet.
Studio upgrades.
And I just kind of laughed when I saw it because she destroyed Charlie's Angels. And
talking about Kristen Stewart?
No, but it's the female one that I can't find it.
Yeah. Oh, the producer.
Yes. And she wrecked Charlie's Angels. And then she's like bagging on people.
She
didn't
like the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys just don't understand. Elizabeth Banks. So Elizabeth Banks is talks to bring back an adult version of the Flintstones, which I'm just like, you're trying to take a page out of Seth Rogen. You probably are going to screw this up a lot.
Rita Repulsa.
Yeah. I was like, okay. But Seth has just been, I mean, this just fits in his wheelhouse. I mean, there's no reason for him not to keep doing. I mean, I didn't like his Green Hornet, but I mean, that was just a personal preference, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't like his Rex.
I enjoyed the TV show,
mm-hmm.
reruns too much to give a shit about a movie.
Yeah. I was like, okay. So with Invincible, I'm on board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm set. Now everyone's talking about crazy rumors that there may still be an animated Walking Dead.
Why?
That's what I said. That was the first thing out of my mouth when I read that. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Don't need it.
No.
Don't want it.
Ship has sailed, man.
The ship sank.
Move on.
Unless they make it exactly like the comic, and if that's the case, I'll just go read the comic.
Yeah.
I got the trades, I think. Yeah, they're somewhere.
There's enough anime out there.
There is.
And much better stories that we haven't already seen. Not that Walking Dead wasn't a good story, but
no, it was great.
Read it, we've seen it.
It came, it saw it, it dug itself up.
We're on fucking kaiju and UFOs, man.
That's right. What did you think of Godzilla, speaking of that? Because I haven't talked to you since then.
You know, it has been a minute.
It has been a minute.
It was 3 out of 5. It was all right. Yeah. I didn't give it a lot of hope, you know.
At least we saw Earth monsters. Shit. The Hollow Earth stuff was kind of hokey. But
the monsters were badass. That cobra dragon thing was super badass.
I thought he just sucked the juice out of his head.
Yeah. That was gross.
That was gross, but it was so good.
Yeah. But that whole thing, I was like suffocating him. Yeah. And then the crabs. And
actually, we're going to have the designer of those crabs. He will be on the podcast.
Look forward to that.
Yes.
Look forward to that. But yeah, I thought it was all right story-wise. I was like, fucking.
Yeah. King I'm with
Kong
you.
King Kong doing sign language and shit.
So, of the last two HBO Max movies, Godzilla, Mortal Kombat, which I'm sure you watch Mortal Kombat.
Shot, yep.
And?
Mortal Kombat was better.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was faster paced.
It was a little bit faster paced. I didn't really know what the fuck Millie Bobby Brown was doing there. That whole sequence.
In Kong?
Yeah. We could have really just done without that whole thing.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat, I just thought was better. Just more action.
All right.
It wasn't, was it great? No. Did they fuck a lot of that? Yes. But damn it was cool. The fatalities were cool.
The effects were on point.
Yeah. Still haven't done Goro justice.
No.
How are you going to just kill that dude like that?
Dude, a woman with a shovel basically took out Goro.
Yeah. Like, I was like, dude, you're about to have your girlfriend torn to pieces.
Yes.
And I was like, and you're going to be sad and get your power.
Comes out of the shed. You're going to get a whooping. And who, okay, now I'm fuzzy on my Mortal Kombat lore, and I talked about this last week on the podcast, but I don't really remember this character that's the main hero. He seems like a mashup of like a couple of different guys.
I was like trying to figure out who he was. I was hoping he was going to be like, because in the comics, there was like the descendants of Scorpion.
Well, yeah, because we know Scorpion. They're descendants, and so that's what I thought it was going to be.
Like a badass Scorpion.
Yeah.
I just made some fucking dude up, honestly.
It was so fucking lame.
But there's a lot of setup because they're talking about like 4 movies total, right?
So, is that the number?
Obviously with Sub-Zero, there was, the original Sub-Zero dies and becomes Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really playing on that Smoke a lot.
Yes.
Kano,
of course, they're bringing back.
Kano with his shit.
Katana? I don't know. Who was the chick that got sliced in half?
That was Milena.
That was probably my most favorite fatality.
Mm. That, or the one with the wings, you mean?
I think so. Yeah. Whoever Luke Kang, just
right? Freaking Kung Lao, yeah, right Kung Lao. Yeah.
Just freaking. I don't know. Table sawed him. I'm just my god.
Like maybe she was in a game.
Yeah. See, I'm so fuzzy at this point on who is and who isn't.
But there was some buildup, right? I mean, they didn't show Baraka. They didn't show. Shit.
There's so many characters that I'm just like, okay. I mean, even Shang Tsung, we didn't really get like a whole lot of
just
him. Just
painting?
Sucking the power out of.
Oh, Shang Tsung, sorry. I was thinking Shao Kahn.
Oh, yeah, Shao Kahn. They didn't even, we just saw a painting of that. Mm-hmm. So
there was a lot of Easter egg and stuff, but it was,
it was fun. Just the middle sucked so bad. The final fight between Scorpion and Sub-Zero, probably one of the best that I've seen for a while.
The beginning fight was...
beginning fight was pretty intense. Very intense.
If that was the direction the whole movie was going...
See, and that's what I was expecting. I thought that was setting the tone. Mm-hmm. Not this, like, dirty diaper sagginess in the center of the frickin' film. Like, what is this nonsense? We kind of figured out what's going on. We don't need the info dump. We don't need you to write it up for us.
Fire those editors.
Yes. We figured it out along the way.
Yes.
There you go. That's what you have for
Mortal Kombat. Fucking King Kong.
When the monkey hits the floor. What else we got? Oh my god. So this is right up your alley. We'll go with this first. The Transformers have just outstepped any expectations I have ever seen in toys.
They've really stepped it up with the War for Cybertron series.
War for Cybertron, and now we're getting an Optimus Prime that can
transform itself. Transform for, what is it, $830?
It is a bit much. But, to be fair, this Optimus Prime, he responds to voice commands. Mm-hmm. He has, like, I don't know how many programmed voice responses already in him, and then you can give him more. He does a little dance.
Yeah.
And he walks, and I'm like,
this thing is badass.
Fuck.
Here's why I think it's even more badass. This is like version one.
This is version one.
It only gets better from here, and it only becomes more diverse in Transformers.
Yeah, this is Gen 1, because it's only a matter of time, because you know they're already licking their chops for Megatron.
Yeah. And they probably got a Bumblebee.
Well, you know, to be fair, yeah. I if you're going to go for like the major powerhouse characters to have them transform themselves, Prime, Bumblebee, Megatron... I mean, I could see Ultra Magnus because it's another rig and it's an easy
truck.
Yeah.
I want Hot
Rod.
I want a legit Walkman to back.
You know, I would love to see Soundwave do that. I really would. But I fear they're going to do like the new Cybertron version, not the classic cassette, because that would be just
that would be awesome. What is where he's like a. Streetlight.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck he is. He's some kind of weird... Again, another weird tank.
Outside of the Optimus base or the Autobot base is a streetlight.
He's incognito.
What the hell is that?
I don't get it. Did you see the size of that streetlight over there?
Yeah.
Fucking huge.
Just lighting up nothing.
But, I mean, I am... Okay. I'm of two minds on this, because in my mindset as a child, yes, I know it's not a stretch for some, I like to play with my toys.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
But how do you play with a toy that does it all itself?
Yeah, so they'd have to, like, turn it into an Alexa or something. So you could be like Optimus, and then he'd, like, transform.
Yeah, because you can say that, and he'll do it.
Right, and then he'll, like, turn the lights on.
He even does, like, Optimus, the Decepticons are attacking, and then, you know, roll. He goes into this, like, whole dialogue where he's even, like, shooting his gun, and you hear blaster noises coming out of him. Mm-hmm. That's great for like, kind of play, but I want to play with my toy.
Transform it?
Yeah. I mean, as much as I appreciate, and I really appreciate the time and energy and just how beautiful... A toy this
it's
is.
Amazing, yeah. I think it's kind of like when, BB-8 first came out.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, whoa, that's cool. Ooh. And then...
Well, BB-8, yeah, I remember this might be a little bit earlier than you, but they had like an R2 that you could say, hey, R2, go get me this, or... Hey, R2, and it would respond and spin around. But of course, he's a can. I mean, he's very limited as far as what he doesn't have arms, he doesn't have anything, but he was very responsive. You could put stuff in him and he could bring you like drinks, shit like that. But
Optimus just transforms and talks.
Yeah. Talks, walks. I mean, he doesn't. Okay, so I was even watching like one of the demos and he's walking and I don't know if he can sense it or he's just limited as far as his range or he ate shit and they just didn't show it. But he stopped before he hit the edge of the table. So he's smart enough. The toy is smart enough not to walk off the table.
That is tight. But only. No kid. We'll own it.
No. Because this is, I mean, and I watched three reviews, and of course I watched Jay and Silent Bob's review of it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, of course, both of them are probably stoned out of their head, and Kevin Smith is just, oh my God, you know, in his Kevin Smith fashion.
It's cool.
It is cool.
It is a Gen 1.
It is a Gen 1.
I would like to see what next summer's Transformer looks like.
Yeah. I want to see more.
And more affordable.
More for dude, $8. Yikes. And I'm bitching about $50 Transformers and $8.
And I I spent $400 on the freaking Sentinel.
Oh, did you buy that?
But I can't see $800 on it.
Worth every penny, wouldn't it?
Oh, I haven't got it yet.
Oh, okay.
It'll be on the show, I promise
you. Oh, that. Yeah, we'll mm-hmm. definitely be doing a Sentinel opening. What else? Moving along, we've got... So, trailers are starting to really flow.
Yeah.
One of the trailers that caught my eye, because it's so out there, and to be honest with you, I've never read this comic. It was under the DC banner, and it was called Sweet Tooth. And it was kind of like this mutation of hybrids start being born, where animals are merged with humans. And mm-hmm. while they're being born, there's also this virus that starts just taking people out. And then, of course, there's the racist side, because people are against the hybrids that are born, and they think they brought about the disease. And mm-hmm. it's a very intricate story, and I'm curious to see what it looks like. Now, there is the trailer for it for Netflix, so we're going to probably get all of it in one big dump, and it is based off of the DC comic. The executive producers are Susan and Robert Downey Jr.
I dig it.
I really dig it. Now,
what's the last thing they did together?
They did Perry Mason, which was a great series on HBO. Mm-hmm. And it's Perry Mason of the 20s. No. It's right at the end of World... He's a vet. He's out of World War II. So he's even still smoking his cigarette like he's in out on the line.
Yeah.
With over the chair, so he can't see it. And it was actually a very well-done series. Very noir.
Yeah,
And they may have done something since then, but I think that was the most recent.
I think there's something else, though, too. That's good. They're good artists.
They are. And I'm curious to see what if they have any influence, or how much more Robert Downey Jr. is going to bring in from the comic book world. So this, we won't have to wait long. June 4th is when this is set to premiere on Netflix.
Yeah.
The trailer is kind of very weird.
Yeah, if RDJ just brings in his buddy, Mr. Favreau, everything will be fine.
I don't know if he can get Favreau away from Disney.
I think he can just have it all, bro.
You think?
Well, who cares? Just tell us good stories.
Favreau, just tell us a story.
Read to me.
Don't care.
But yeah, Sweet Tooth, yeah, on the comic book end of that, stock's rising, like everybody's buying shit up.
That was already kind of a lower print one, and it was on the other DC side.
Yeah, anytime they announce anything.
Dude, like White Vision, a worthless comic in the West Coast Avengers, not a blip to anybody. Now all of a sudden I'm seeing them getting pressed, getting graded.
$80
here. An $80 book. Hey, for the expo, I pulled out my first Red Hulk. I'm going to sell that sumbitch. I'm Young Avengers. I got a white variant cover from L.A.
Yeah.
Selling that sumbitch, too. Yeah. It'll be at the expo.
We're going to have some good shit. I'm going to bring some fire to the expo as well.
Oh, what you dighting it up with?
It's hard because I don't want to get rid of it. You know, but I got some stuff. I got some vintage collection stuff, Star Wars.
I like how you sent me the message when I was telling you about it. You're like, how do you separate with your stuff? I don't want to do this.
Last expo, all these key books. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. How do you do it? It's only because I have I already have backups to these.
Well, that's what people say. Well, I bought this book 3 or 4 times, and I'm like,
God, because I come across them, like, you go into the dollar bins and you see these things and you're like, well, okay. And next thing you know, shit like this happens.
I'm going to go ahead and bring my first appearance, Miles Morales.
Oh.
See if anybody's got the
from the
Cheddar.
The Cheddar for that?
Yeah.
It's a steep book. What's that up to now? Is it 5?
5? Graded, it's like 12 to 15. We'll see.
Is yours slabbed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But you should be able to get decent money for that.
Yeah.
Because that thing was so underprinted to begin with. No one was reading Ultimates at that time. The Ultimate Universe. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of just, again, slipped in.
That's actually why I was collecting Ultimates. Because I couldn't, like, everybody else was reading the current stuff, so I was like, well, I'll collect Ultimates. Mm-hmm.
No, I've got all the Ultimates, the Secret Wars stuff. I've got. Mm-hmm. I started with Spider. I've got all of the Spider-Man run. So
I did too. I even got the variants.
Mm-hmm. I was huge into it. So
yeah, yeah. Knuckles.
Knuckles. You never know what you got.
Boom.
Until you look at a price guide or watch a TV. Speaking of which, first appearances, this will definitely light a fire under this guy's first appearance. Green Lantern casts Finn Wittrock in the lead role of the upcoming HBO Max series. Believe it or not, it's almost been 10 years since the travesty that is Ryan Reynolds' film in 2011 of Green Lantern. You may recognize... this gentleman's name, Finn, because he's in American Horror Stories. He's done a lot of stuff. So with him taking on the role of Guy Gardner.
Not Hal Jordan.
Not Hal Jordan. And not Jon Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. I'm tired of Jon Stewart. I've never liked Jon Stewart. They've tried to plug him into so many different things. I'm really captivated. And I wasn't like this all the time. I wasn't always a Guy Gardner fan. Don't get me wrong. Guy got on my nerves, but it wasn't until like when Ron Mars got a hold of him and kind of reshaped the character and made Guy, he kind of salvaged the character. He really did.
But he's get the more of the bomber jacket style.
Yes, yeah, the bomber jacket with the moon boots.
Yeah,
with buckles. I don't know why moon boots need buckles, but it did.
Gravity in space.
So they don't fly off, I guess, when you're entering the atmosphere. Yeah. I don't know.
My buckles are burning.
But I, you know what? I honestly think that Guy is probably the best choice for the series.
So is this part of the HBO's acquisition of the Snyder verse?
I think it's
going to be its own thing.
So this is kind of going to be its own thing? Who knows what this could lead to?
Mm-hmm.
But
a little callback to the battle where the first Lantern lost his ring against Darkseid. And
see, that's the funny thing, because we don't know how all of this is going to fit, because I don't know if it's going to fit into the Snyderverse. I mean, of course, everyone has been waiting for the Arrowverse to come up, because Diggle, of course, at the end of Arrow, gets a green thing. We don't see what it is,
mm-hmm.
but everyone, of course, assumes that it's a ring. And then, of course, especially when John Wesley ships Flash during Crisis, is all like, where's your ring, John? You know, and it's like, oh, you know, just like fucking with the fans.
Yeah.
So Arrowverse never doing anything with it, and probably I think by the time they were going to, HBO had already got their hooks into it.
Yeah.
So, I think Guy is perfect because I know we're going to get stuff from Oa. I know his role as kind of a mentor to Kyle is very crucial to Kyle's character development, because after Hal wiped out the core, Kyle gets Jordan's ring,
mm-hmm.
and Gardner kind of coaches Kyle through some travesty. Mongol cutting up his mother and shoving him in a freezer for one. Such a brutal...
It was a rough weekend.
Such a rough weekend. I found this ring that can do anything. Oh, yeah, and my mom in the freezer.
Oh.
so good. But I'm curious. I don't... it's somebody different. That's basically what I really...
Mix it up, yeah.
Yeah. If you're keeping track, Guy Gardner's first appearance is in Green Lantern number 59 back in 1968. And, of course, he's been part of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. He's shown up in the cartoons, but not much.
Buy it now.
It was already in expensive books.
Yeah, any of those golden age early prints.
Because you've got... I mean, Stewart's had shot up and was holding for a while. I don't know what it's doing lately. Kyle's always has been kind of up there, and I don't know.
Yeah. First 100. Those are the pricey books.
Yes, they are. And I love every one of them. I go home, and I stroke them. My little children. I
like to lay on them and roll in circles.
my little ba-ba-bas.
You like to press them, of course.
Final bit of news. This is actually here in our backyard, which we will have to go check out in the fall when it opens. But Mau Wolf is set to open a Denver location. The Interactive Art Museum Mau Wolf is set to open its Denver location in the fall. The Santa Fe-based arts and entertainment company announced this just Wednesday. It's going to be over by Mile High Stadium, and if you're not familiar with that, that's right off of I-25 and Colfax. It's this weird triangular-shaped building. Evidently, it's going to be showcasing 79 different projects. 90,000 square foot building will include 450-plus person live performance venue partnerships with Interactive Technologies and Projection Masters and Company. Wow, okay.
Dope.
That is just massive.
That's cool.
Have you ever been to one of their other... Have you ever been to one of their locations? Mm-mm. I have never been to one of these. And I'm curious to see how this is going to go over, because I think this is great. I mean, this is just like, you know, the museum. They've got the Van Gogh exhibit that's coming this year that's completely immersive and interactive, yeah. Got my tickets. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not going to miss that. But I'm curious to see how well this does. There is no mention as far as what prices are going to be to get in or any of that. But
it's good new, you know, that area is just all redone and lots of microbreweries, restaurants, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff over there.
Good spot.
Well, the microbrews, I mean, they don't really do anything when there's not a football game, so I feel bad that there's nothing else going on.
Something else besides the children's museum.
Yeah, right? No shit. Like, hey, here we go. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So as we go, we'll take pictures. We'll show you. That's kind of it for I got for the news. What do you got? Anything?
You know, that's it. On toy front, it's pretty
quiet.
I mean, Hasbro announced they're doing that giant Titans arc.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if it's a Titan series,
the Rise of the Titans, isn't it? Or that, something like that,
because it's certain series of giants.
Yeah, Trypticon
I think is the Titan series. Yes, it's about the size of Trypticon. Wow, but there's only the Autobot arc.
But it's only like Omega Supreme, Trypticon, Fortress Maximus.
There's a Scorponok.
Base
that they released.
Scorponok.
Looking for. I don't know.
Good luck. Good luck finding anything in the wild these days.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, apparently Hasbro, McFarlane, all those guys have said they have fixed their distribution issues and that 2021 is going to be a lot easier to get their products.
You know what? I'll believe it when I see it. Because they said before when toy stores closed, because how long has it been since Toys R Us went bye-bye?
2 years? 3 years?
I would probably go three, but at least. Yeah. So well, you mean it's taken you this fucking long to figure out, you know, we need to fix our distribution?
Yeah.
Shit.
It's balls. Yeah. And there's still, that's no guarantee on the exclusives, which everybody's after anyway.
No, of course. Everybody wants the chases. The plastic poachers, as we like to call them. Yeah. You like to call them.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, toys is there. Comics is booming. Sports cards is booming. Comic book cards. Remember that?
Yeah.
Those ones everybody had?
Yeah.
Crazy right now. Everybody's after those again.
Again? Dude, I've got so many of those just taking up space. I actually pulled out the other day. Because as I'm working on remodeling my den and all of that and putting in the bookcases, I'm going through stuff to, like, okay, what do I need, what I don't? And I came across a box. No, not the console. And I came across a box that had, like, the original Spawn cards that were released back in the 90s. And they're a decent size card, but...
The long ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got extras that I don't even know what the fuck to do with.
Still waiting for Spawn to blow up again.
I don't know.
Come out with your damn movie, Todd. We need your movie.
He keeps teasing us with, like, his art that he's doing, the toys, mm-hmm. the Spawns, didn't he do another Kickstarter? And I know the one card that everyone's looking for, and I got to go find the box, because I know I got a shit ton of them, is the bagged X-Force #1 that has the Deadpool card in it.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, and that's going for crazy money now.
That one card, like, $60.
Yeah.
Well, you could get a whole set back in the day for like $5, $10.
If even that. I mean, I think at the end, people are just trying to blow them out and just like, here, Take the shit. I just don't want it.
Now you're paying 40, 60 bucks for a set.
I love how this stuff just kind of swings around, you know?
Yep. It ebbs and flows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The next generation, you know, will be late 90s, early 2000s. Shit's going to come up.
Again? Oh, God.
And then boom.
I'm hoping I'll just sell everything off by then. Just have a couple key things and...
I'm downsizing. I'm starting to get overwhelmed, for sure.
You run out of space. You end up having to remodel an entire house just to make room for your collectibles.
And that, you know, dusting.
Oh, dusting's a bitch.
Forget it.
All right. I guess that kind of covers it for this week. Yeah. Be sure to give us a like, give us a share, give us a subscribe so we can spread our massive geekness.
Absolutely.
Across the earth. We want to cover it.
We do. Tell us, and we will make dancing moves.
Cha-cha-cha. There you go. And on that bombshell, we shall say goodbye. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be